So long, man. Have a good breath.
Fuck you!
This is Jerry Fitzmaurice, and I am here with two dangerous men. I mean, we have the Grim Reaver and your newly acquired legend, Don Tony. And now, this is... I gotta ask you. Are you nervous? You're facing Jason Static tonight, and you're matched with Jason Static. Are you nervous? I'm off.
Listen. I didn't bring my stupid dictionary with me, so I'm not even gonna answer that question. He beat him last show. Why would he not want to face him again? Beat him again. What are you stupid?
Ask yourself. Explain something. Who is in charge of this federation that will book another match between me and some scrub that I beat the crap out of, left him in the ring, cannolis all in his face? Let me tell you something. You're not Vince McMahon. You can't do this. Let me tell you something, Jay Static. You can do all the push-ups in the world, do all the sit-ups, whatever extra activity they do in Gold's Gym. Let me explain something to you. I'm a natural killer, all right? I'm here to kill you. I'm taking you out. There's going to be no more Jay Static in VPW. There should be no more weirdo, creepo-looking punks like you. I got my man right here. We got the power.
HBOZ, baby.
It's over with, Static. Static, explain something. If you talk like that again to me, you're going to get slapped. I want to hear your normal voice.
This is my normal voice. Okay. I have my degree in journalism.
Let me tell you something where we come from. Where we come from, we don't just whack someone, we disfigure them. So, Jason, you were stupid enough to accept the challenge again. Next time, we're going to disfigure you. HBOZ.
All day, every day.
That's right. Cosa Nostra has just begun.
Come on,
madre et faccio la cane.
Oh, come on now. I don't know what he said, but it sounded pretty devious. Jerry Fitzwater. Hey.
It's Friday night. It's Saturday night.
That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
You got to bear with me a little bit. I made one of the biggest, dumbest mistakes right before I went live. Now, I know it's not connect to server. That's not a mistake. I love doing the shows for all of you out there. Remember, engage without the rage. What was the other line? Reporting news without the hate and the clickbait. And there was another one. I can't remember. Someone that's on Twitter right now. What is on my profile? I wrote one the other day. I try to rhyme, you know, with a little bit of what we're all about here, but I made a huge mistake tonight. Goldberg is just relaxing right now. Let me tell you something. We'll get into that thing in a minute because I am a little bit nervous about something tonight with that thing. And it's not full. It's not full. He's just chilling right now. He's chilling. He's relaxing. Look, the Goldberg tattoo. Yeah, we'll do that a little bit later. Anybody out there that is an aspiring podcaster, whether you're doing video or you're doing audio, this was something that I never thought about before. And Mish, believe it or not, was the one that told me about 3 or 4 years ago. And he could tell that I made one of the Butch League mistakes doing these shows. We were doing an episode of something. And while we're doing it, you heard me through the show going like, now I wasn't sick in any way, shape, or form. And he said to me, he goes, you got a cold? I said, no, I'm fine. So he said, did you have dairy right before you started the show? I was like, what do you mean, dairy? He's like, one of the big no-nos right before you go live on any shows is do not have chocolate, do not have cheese, do not have ice cream, do not have anything with cream in it, because it'll cause a little bit of phlegm in your throat area. So I have not eaten dinner yet. I figured we come up here, we do predictions for Extreme Rules. We'll talk about a couple little tidbits here and there. We'll blow him up, beat him up, and blow him up again, and then get out of here, and I'll eat dinner after the show. So what do? I get one of these NYX keto peanut butter chocolate bars. I made love to that son of a bitch about 5 minutes before I went live. So now all of that dairy is in the throat, and it's basically like, it's like this. It's like poking. It's like an annoying kid. It's like just poking. I'm like, stop. Just stop. Happy birthday to Sonya Deville. Tell you, I'm sticking with my draft prediction. My draft prediction is Sonya Deville, the ultimate bitch. She drafts Naomi back to Raw. Ho-ho! I want to see it. I drink water. I have water here. In fact, I didn't even carbonate it tonight, figuring that the water would make it slide down more, because the last thing you want to do with seltzer is to burp. And when you got phlegm in the throat and then you burp, you got to worry. Maybe it like comes up a little bit more. I'm telling you, WWE's got to troll a little bit. They got to troll. Draft Naomi back to Raw before she gets a match. Please, please. Not trying to be a jerk. Anyway, you know, I was a happy camper yesterday. Once AEW announced their appearance in New York, I said on this show numerous times, give me just one night in New York that this guy appears on AEW. How many times did we say on this show, AEW, if you're somehow listening, if you could get past my dumb tongue-in-cheek humor of the goody, 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 goody stuff early on, bring Homicide on. Now, I don't think they needed to hear me or any of you out there to think, oh, who could still do it? Oh, and from New York, oh, and could also go with Santana Ortiz or Eddie Kingston, Homicide was the logical answer. The thing is, I always said, give me one time, give me one match. I'll take a match. Give me one match. Homicide of 2021 is not the Homicide of 2011. He's not the Homicide of 2005 either. Homicide, some people may even think that this is AEW's version of New Jack. So what? But for people that are watching, catching up on some old Homicide tapes and think, you know, a guy has been busting his body for all of us for two decades. And he can't go like he used to. He's not an invalid. You know, I mean, honestly, if you look at the appearance, I mean, yeah, look, the over-the-top people online, it was epic, it was amazing. I'm shaking in my boots right now. I'm crying, I'm ecstatic, I'm this and that. The guy is a little bit slower. You know, you look at Minoru Suzuki, turns around a little too quickly, and Minoru Suzuki's looking at Homicide. And honestly, if he spoke really good English, he could have said, hey, what's going on? You want to go for drinks after the show? And then he hits him with the chair. Let's be honest. Hobbs versus CM Punk. Hobbs had a nice little coming out party. It shouldn't have taken a match with CM Punk for Hobbs to have a coming out party. Because we've all always heard that Hobbs could fucking go if AEW lets him go. But there was one spot with CM Punk going off the corner, the Hurricanrana, and there could have been a serious problem. You know, and everybody, oh, no, they tore it up. Epic, amazing, this and that. They had a great match. Don't get me wrong. But you see how they eliminate and ignore certain little aspects of it. It's not that he was a botch machine last night. He was not a botch machine. Hobbs and CM Punk are two guys that really probably shouldn't be in the ring against each other, period. Hobbs should be squashing people like a goddamn grape. Hobbs should be on a winning streak right now. He doesn't have to be this guy, but you could utilize Hobbs a hell of a lot better. Look at all the big guys there. Lance Archer, lose, lose, lose. I don't care what promos you cut afterwards. And with all the expletives, I'm fucking pissed. Look at that. This is the fucking shit you give me. This is bullshit. This blah, blah, blah. No, he didn't say those exact words, but how many times have I said Lance Archer is my favorite wrestler in AEW? They treat the big guys for the most part like shit. Look at Brian Cage. Brian Cage is like a bad cartoon from the 50s. And it's not his fault. It's the way he's being used. I mean, you see him going up against Ricky Starks. I mean, Brian Cage should just, when Hobbs is on the rope and Green Hook is on the rope, Brian Cage should go, which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? Which way did he go? He looks like a goof out there. That's how AEW is using him. And then now, because Adam Cole and the Young Bucks beat Jurassic Express and Christian Cage, and because the Young Bucks put in their bio, give us trios titles. Oh, please, Santa Khan, please. We want trios titles. We get trios titles. This is the little toys. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind trios titles. But when it seems like all the people backstage, give me my friend. Give me my friends. Give me this. Give me that. Give me, give me, give me, give me. What is that, Britney Spears song? Give me, give me, give me, give me. Telling you, I don't pay attention to a lot of journalists out there because a lot of them like to make sausage. And if you're a regular listener, you know why I'm saying that. Brandon Thurston, who now and breaks down ratings as good as anybody that I've ever seen, did a little video yesterday. It's something that you and I have been saying for a year. He's very concerned about AEW. Because at some point, AEW cannot deliver this high-caliber content week in and week out and week in and week out. And what happens when they have to give some average shows? You can't always just live in the moment, live in the moment, live in the moment. I've come up with 15 different analogies with that. Paychecks, you know, cash your check on a Friday, it's gone on a Saturday. People are starting to take notice. You got to start taking notice. You know, and Tony Khan, sooner or later, is going to have to start pulling back a little bit. It's going to be really interesting to see the withdrawal symptoms. You see a lot of these people with withdrawal symptoms already with NXT. NXT going back to their roots, just as I said all along. And trust me, they didn't take the 2.0 because we joked around about it last year. NXT should be NXT 2.0. Version 2. Remember the Matt Hardy stuff? They're going back to their roots. They're ignoring the noise online. Oh, well, what are these people on here? You're just putting people out there just to try to, you know, make something work. You think so? You think so? Shane Thorne. Oh, I wish I could spend more on this. But for those that remember Slapjack, slap this. Shane Thorne last night on SmackDown in a dark match took on Austin Theory, beat him. Now, I'm sorry for the crappy screenshot. That's all I could put together for tonight's show. But that is Shane Thorne coming out, you know, a little bit Australian. Gee, I wonder where he's from. Down under. And right away, the goofs that ripped on Bearcat Lee, that rip on this, they rip on that, and rip on this. They're going off online. Look at this fucking garbage they gave to Shane Thorne. Look at this awful shit. Bring him to AEW. Blah, 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 blah. Until this post comes out. Just to let you all know, what I'm trying to do is all me, and my idea is a huge inspiration for me is Nikki A.S.H., and you can't deny she's doing an incredible job. So relax, mate. Let's have a good one. Shane Thorne came up with the gimmick. Daniel Bryan Danielson. All right, you know, from now on, when we talk about Daniel Bryan, we talk about WWE Daniel Bryan. When we say Bryan Danielson, we talk about AEW Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson did an interview with some radio show on Wrestling Inc. Never heard of it. But they asked him about, you know, the reaction of fans booing him when he said that he loved his time in WWE. He says, and I quote, "After I got a little promo and said I loved where I worked before, that got a chorus of boos, but it's true. I think that also speaks to it not just as a wrestling culture thing. I think there's also a tribalism in our country right now. The narrative of being on one side or the other, and I think most people are actually very rational and will enjoy both sides. But I think the harder edges, those are the people who tend to speak out more. If you like both, you're not going to go on social media and say anything controversial, and that is not going to get a lot of responses. No one's going to say anything. You just do one or the other. I think it's one of the negatives of social media, as it tends to emphasize the harshness in either decision. When people always say to me, DT, why do you bring up Twitter? Why do you bring up Facebook? It's on everyday lives. It's not just wrestling, obviously, but you like both, you praise both. 95% of people out there will ignore. What's wrong with him? But you say, fuck Vince, fuck this Shane Thorne gimmick, even though you could say, guys, everybody, I made this up myself. Sure you did, Shane. Sure. Sooner or later, it's going to not be cool anymore. Remember, there was at one point, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior was a huge popular thing until they started teasing his WWE return and then his tragic death. Suddenly, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior was no longer a popular thing. This extremely popular phase, and I love the people out there who do this 90% of the time, and then because they fell asleep, can't say they worked, they fell asleep. And then the Shane Thorne thing happens, and they're sleeping while it's going down. Now, you know for a goddamn fact that if they were on social media and saw that in real time, fuck Vince, fuck this. But they were sleeping. So by the time they woke up, Shane Thorne already posted that response. Look at all these assholes that always have to do this and always have to jump the gun and always have to do that. Meanwhile, they're the ones doing it. They just so happen to be caught off guard. Didn't expect anything to happen on the dark tapings for SmackDown. Maybe the Bearcat, you know, unleashes his fury. I love those people. I love all of you, for real. No bullshit. By the way, I want to shout out everybody who is live tonight. You want to know something? No joke. And you know what? It probably works tonight. Now with Periscope closing down for good, there's more people that tune in live on Twitter during these shows than even YouTube. So for all of you out there, you know, that do check out the shows through Facebook or Twitch or Twitter or other mediums, let me know why that's your preference. I'm just curious. I mean, I always reference YouTube because chat room is there and obviously super chats like Steve Joseph, who is very kind for his generosity. And I will definitely answer your question when it pops up in a moment. So let me know why that's a preference for all of you. And if there's any other platforms that any of you out there want to see the show stream live from, let me know. Seriously, because I'm looking to you know, make it as easiest and enjoyable as possible for everyone out there. So, Harris B. says, I need to condemn my days with my former co-host because my fans said so. No, what's to condemn? I mean, the ending is pretty obvious. Those that don't know the reason why everything ended, because still people to this day want to make it seem like, oh, one person wanted to go to video and the other person didn't want to go to video. No. It is tinyurl.com/RIPDTKC. And if you go to that link, you'll see the reason why the show's changed. What's there to criticize other than that? It's over. It's done. I don't think about it anymore. When people out there keep forcing a narrative, you know, I mean, maybe I got to say it in different languages. Chung ta fu ta. Gush dish nak nak de buka. I'm just, you understand this English. I go forward. I don't go backwards. So, you know, people got to get used to it. And then you get trolls because of it. It's not a big deal. It just gives me even more of a reason, like, DT, you did the right thing. So, I speak my mind. It gets me in trouble sometimes. It gets me very unpopular. A lot of people don't want to rub elbows with. It's cool. No problem. No, not complaining. So, anyway, let me post Steve Joseph, because Streamlabs was a little lazy for a minute. How would I bring me and him back to TV? Draft? Maybe you wait for the draft to be done? You could also have a work some dark matches to just get it back in the swing of things. I personally think the draft is going to really... I think WWE truly was holding back on some wrestlers returning until the draft. And then once the draft happens, see, this is the thing. You don't want me and Yim just to pop up on TV and everybody's like, well, me and Yim was on tonight with no rhyme or reason behind it. But if you do the draft and then they announce, even if, look, she probably would end up in the supplemental draft that's on WWE.com exclusively. But if they announce me and Yim being drafted to SmackDown, because technically, I would think, isn't she still technically a Raw wrestler? I don't think she ever officially was moved to SmackDown. But if they draft to the SmackDown, now it becomes a piece of news. Mia Yim is a part of SmackDown. So then you could put Mia Yim on TV the following week and say, oh, Mia Yim, who was drafted to SmackDown, is now getting an opportunity to, you know, to show what she's got. So that's how I would bring her back. Shout out to Bong Style. Loving the Saturday night shows. Yeah, I like Saturday much better than Friday. Everybody scrambling. Look at me first. No, watch me first and watch me first and watch. I don't want anybody to have to pick and choose. And I'm sure sooner or later you'll see some of those people start doing shows on Saturday. You know, give me some. No, I want. It's all good. But I get to start the show earlier, which makes it a little bit more reasonable for my international friends out there. And who knows? People have been telling me, oh, make it 7 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. That is always a possibility. I want it to be convenient for everybody out there. But remember, I will be here tomorrow, right after Extreme Rules, to discuss the pay-per-view. I think it's going to be a little bit better than people expect. I'm shocked that they only stuck with the one gimmick stipulation, you know, which is Roman Reigns versus the Demon. I'm still hearing from people that WWE is going to throw out some, you know, I don't want to say surprises, but WWE is going to not necessarily just go exactly as planned, that we're going to see some things added to it. Maybe have a backstage skit or something else, but you would think, how do you not do a TLC match or tables and ladders or tables match, something? So I think, hold out hope. I think you may still see some things added to it. But look, man, if the pay-per-view is good, it's good. You know, I mean, yeah, look, Extreme Rules has a theme to it. And I think more than just the main event should have an Extreme Rules theme. But, you know, let's see how the pay-per-view is. I'd rather it be a great pay-per-view than to have all gimmicks and they all suck, you know? Anyway, I watched a lot of the Chris Kanyon Dark Side of the Ring, the double life of Chris Kanyon, Dark Side of the Ring. And you know what I got to do while we're doing the shows? I'm sorry for doing this, maybe not as professional. I got to write timestamps. That's the number one thing people have been telling me about the shows. Please, we need timestamps. So I'm going to make sure I put timestamps on here today. All I got to do is just, instead of tearing up my notes, just keep them and add little timestamps and then just type it later. So you'll get timestamps tonight. But I checked out a majority of it. The Luke Hawk stuff, that's where I turned it off. I mean, I turned it back on, but, you know, look, I've been doing this 24 years, going on 25 now. And since 1997, when Chris Kanyon was still in WCW, I was telling stories on the hotlines and later the shows on, you know, how met him a couple of times when we were all going to high school together. And he lived 10 minutes away from where I lived. He lived in Sunnyside, Queens. And his relationship, you know, with some local wrestlers over here. And I always admitted I was not good friends with the guy. I was not that friendly with him. Did I know, Sean KB is asking, did I know Kanyon's friend from Dark Side? Well, Luke Hawks was on some XPW shows that I was involved in on the Northeast, Altar Boy Luke. And from all I remember about him was that he was a really cool guy. I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't follow really much of the career of Luke Hawks. I mean, I watched a little of the stuff he did in the last 2 years. You know, I always thought that he was going to go far in NWA. But, you know, as far as Chris Kanyon goes, you know, I met him in the middle 80s. Way before any of the wrestling stuff, no inclination about the wrestling either. Because most of the times everybody got together, it was just hanging out at Cunningham Park. Oh, Harris B's talking about Raphael Morphy. He worked behind the scenes. I think he worked behind the scenes in both of the companies. If you're talking about Raphael, no. I really do not recall knowing him at all. Do not recall Raphael at all. He worked behind the scenes for both companies. Yeah. King Blingla, you know, since we're talking about Kanyon, and I'm joking. AEW runs a Super Bowl commercial? Wow, that's a great question if you really think about it. That's a pretty good question. What date does January 1st move on, land on, move on. Love my English here. January 1st lands on a Saturday. It's possible. I don't think it's necessary, though, but, man, what exposure. That's a lot of money to drop. But, yes, I could very well see AEW drop a commercial on the Super Bowl. Yeah. And you know what's funny? If we find out, something tells me, another pro wrestling entertainment company will follow suit. And no, I'm not talking about Impact Wrestling. Yes, yes. His high school friend. I do not remember Raphael at all. I did not go to the funeral. A few people asked me of that. I actually have my podcast episode from 2010, I think his funeral was on, I think it was April 2nd, because I remember saying, wow, you know, I wish this was an April Fool's joke. I remember saying that on the show, but it was April 2nd, 2010. It's already been 11 and a half years. But the funeral was not far from my house at all. But from what I remember of the guy, cool guy, hung out. You know, was not the center of attention, was not a goof in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, the friendships he had, they were very, very close. And he did not talk about his sexuality to many people. And he is one that held it in and was mocked. Now, I'm very happy that this came out so people could learn how wonderful of a person he was. Period. I mean, you know, the gimmicks that they did, Wrath and Mortis, you know, at the time. I remember the theme music being fucking awesome and Sinister Minister coming out with them. I mean, it was awesome. You know, I mean, I remember, my God, you remember the Lenny spoofs? Remember the Lenny spoofs? We were using Canyon's music. Remember? Who better than Vinnie Mac? That was Captain Lenny. And I put the Canyon music. Canyon was good people, seriously. And see Ric Flair? Ric Flair's getting, oh yeah, very, very close with James Mitchell. Very close with James Mitchell. I tell you, I wish if I would have gotten involved. Remember, you got to remember something. Never crossed paths with this guy in indie wrestling and stuff like that. I kind of wish that USA Pro UXW would have brought him in for a little bit. I wish that, you know, would have been able to work some shows with that guy, because I would immediately say, holy shit, remember Cunningham Park? Remember the rivalries, McClancy, Malloy, and Prep? Remember all the crazy shit and this and that? And I probably, from what people have said over the years, I probably would have clicked with the guy. You know, because all he just, at the end of the day, just wanted to be appreciated and loved and just treated like everybody else. And you see the Ric Flair stuff. I'm not going to sit here and bash Ric Flair, but it goes to show you that you got to be really fucking careful when you put people down, even if it is an anonymous social media post. Because when some people are already at rock bottom and you just want to play pylon, especially the way people compete to get the catchiest insult with the most likes and everything like that. Remember when how many years have I been doing this? You don't ever want to feel like you're responsible for putting somebody over the edge. That's why, you know, it's just, I try to emphasize more of the positive stuff. There's a lot about wrestling that still sucks right now. No question. But, I'm not going to lie. I originally had in the title for tonight's show, Fans Turning on Dark Side of the Ring. That was before I watched the Canyon stuff today. And halfway through that episode, I took that off of the title for tonight's show. Because, yes, there's no question, Dark Side of the Ring is trying to create recipes using some episodes and not having enough ingredients. That's why you find out so many things are wrong after the episodes air. But obviously that's to get attention, get hits, get tweets, you know, being overdramatic about stuff like that. You know, take note how Dark Side of the Ring had the opportunity to interview other people, very important people. And I'm not talking about people employed with WWE, and they chose not to. Take note of all of those shoot interviews and all of those hosts in those shoot interviews and all of the wrestlers in those shoot interviews that for 20 years that talked about the plane ride from hell. And I'm sorry for doing this again, audio warning, that they would say, oh, you remember Ric Flair? Everybody were there. Oh, did you see the U-shoot with blah, 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 blah? Did you hear what they said about the dark ride of hell? the gold dust. I'm going to fuck you tonight. Everybody laughed at it for 20 years. So when I see this outrage online, I don't pay attention to it. Cancel culture. Now they're going after John Cena because John Cena didn't Canyon all that spectacular back in the day. There's just, you know, I personally think, and what I'm going to say right now is going to go on deaf ears. Going to go on deaf ears. But I'm the one that initially coined the phrase when do we get the Dark Side of the Ring episode of the Dark Side of the Ring? You're not going to see the bright side of the ring, the good side of the ring. You're going to see Dark Side because it reflects society today. It reflects people want to rehash things. They want to find tweets from 10 years ago. They want to find jokes that were made 20 years ago. They want to find this. They want a reason to put their anger out and lash on other people. And why do they do that? Because it makes them think that they're a better person. The more people that they could say are evil, disgusting, and terrible, the more it makes them feel, you know what? Yeah, I am a low-life piece of shit, but I never threatened to sexually assault anybody. Yeah, I'm an absolute scumbag. I should be punched in the face more than that thing later on. But you know what? I'm not a dick like what this guy did. I didn't go in people's showers and shove shampoo up their ass. I didn't do this. So that'll die down. It's going to take a very long time. That'll die down. Yeah, I don't even know what that laugh is. It sounds like a hyena or something like that. My apologies. But I'll say this. Dark Side of the Ring has to be a little bit more responsible. The North Korea collision in Korea, some people say to this day, it's the greatest episode they ever did. And some of it was sensationalized for TV purposes. But the wrestlers go along with it also. Because wrestlers, their entire lives, have always exaggerated stuff. They're not on the level of Hogan, who body slammed Andre the Giant at 844 pounds. But that's what wrestlers do. That's what everybody does. If I say I lost 5 pounds, I really lost one. If I say, oh, I got laid last night, I might have masturbated. Oh, if I rescued all of these dogs or cats, yeah, maybe I like lifted the gate for one to walk by. Everybody exaggerates their shit. So wrestlers, come on. Everybody knows that. Brad Shepherd. I smell shit all of a sudden. Cool water. Brad, be gone. Cool water. I have been obsessed with this stuff since the 80s. Cool water. Oh no. Oh, that's the worst thing that could happen. The cap came off. No. Can't do that. It's discontinued. I paid $30 for one can. Brad Shepherd is the equivalent of dog shit. You bring up Brad Shepherd. Brad Shepherd is dog shit. I thank you for your service, Brad. Even you exaggerate about that too. Brad Shepherd, I do not like. There ain't no conspiracy theories. Ain't no conspiracy theories. It is what it is. It is what it is. It's not a shill for AEW. Because trust me, AEW has not done their due diligence about every person who has ever worked in that company or still does right now. And little accusations could come out here and there. And the last thing Tony Khan ever wants to be looked at is, hey, how come you're not handling this person, but Hogan is barred from ever going to an event? I don't think Hogan was ever going to go to an AEW event unless there was... When was the last time in 20, 30, 40 years... In 1979, 1981, 83, 97, 98, 2001, 4, 7, 12, 863, 5309. I think I fucked that up. When did you ever hear Dick's Championship Wrestling had an event in Nashville or better yet, Tampa? And Hulk Hogan made an appearance. He was in a neighborhood. He was driving by. He saw a sign that said pro wrestling. Hey, brother, let me give back a little bit, brother. He didn't do that. Wasn't ever going to go to an AEW event. All right. So, Dark Side of the Ring, they have to be a little bit more careful. Careful. Because believe me when I tell you, no one will say this. When these guys get juicy stuff, like what Dreamer said, and some of the accusations, when they go on interviews and say, I lost sleep at night, they didn't lose sleep at night because it was disturbing. Watching the Clair Witch Project is something that keeps you up at night. Watching crazy shit go down live in real time online, that keeps you up at night. The reason why they kept up at night, I can't believe we got these quotes. I can't believe this. Oh, can you imagine how the internet's going to blow up? We're going to be huge. We're going to be better. That's what keeps them up at night. They better be a little bit more careful. Because if somebody with this cancel culture gets brought down to a dark side, a dark area in their life, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Ric Flair, what he said to Chris Kanyon was like a knife in the heart. What happens when Dark Side of the Ring does an episode and they think they got this unbelievable juicy shit and somebody gets cancel cultured over accusations and for them it's ratings, but for that person it feels like a knife in their heart. And then what's going to happen 20 years from now if somebody blew their brains out or ODs and then you find out later that, you know, this led to it, this led to it, and this led to it. And what are you going to do, have remorse? They got to be careful. Not for themselves, but because of the climate that they're in right now. They know misery loves company. They know cancel culture is looking for fresh meat. That's why they're going after, you wait. Wait for more Undertaker stories to come out. Wait for JBL stories to, oh my God, wait for the JBL stories to come out. You see what goes on. So they might be drooling right now. Oh my God, the ratings. Somebody is going to get royally fucked up over this stuff. And guess what? They are going to be equivalent of what Ric Flair said to Chris Kanyon a long time ago. Remember I made this comment. In fact, I'm even going to write this down so I can reference it later on because this shit will happen. Anyway, on to a little bit more lighthearted news. This thing. Okay. If you remember on Thursday, we unboxed it. This is the Bill Goldberg WCW electronic talking battling bop bag. Say that fast 10 times. And somebody had sent this to me. Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you all. Apparently, me eating 20, 30-year-old shit that's wrestling-related, everybody's seeming to enjoy now, and me opening up retro stuff. Oh, my God. People laughed about this one. Pick up the soap. What? Pick up the soap. Now, if you know about sexual terms with jail, never pick up the soap. You think they'd sell this in 2021? Look, pick up the soap. What? Pick up the soap. What? Pick up the soap now. What? I have something that someone sent me a screenshot they're sending me. I think it might be the most politically incorrect WWF item ever sold in history. I am not going to say what it is. But when I get this package and go like this, people are going to be like, what the fuck would they think again at that time? But I have someone sending me a couple of them. We're probably going to give them away on the shows. WCW Nitro Cologne. Unopened. I will try WCW Nitro Cologne. And if it smells halfway decent, I will videotape myself putting a little spritzers. I don't know if it's spray or just eau de parfum or whatever it is. I'll go like this right before I go into a restaurant. And if I see anybody going, Brad Shepherd, I'll grab out my phone and record it. So, yeah, somebody sending me one of the holy grails, WCW Nitro Cologne. I think I got Vanilla Ice gum today. I haven't checked my mail yet. But this thing, okay, I'm a little worried. Because You see the bottom? See the bottom of it? That's the instructions. You have to fill the bottom with water because it needs a weighted base for it to stay up. Now, originally, I blew up the bottom with air, and I tested blowing it up earlier to make sure that it kept air, and it did. But I realized the bottom, you have to fill it up with water, because if I hold it up, if I try to keep it standing up, if I don't use water, when I punch it, it's going to go through the ceiling. So I filled up the bottom with water. I can't tell you how heavy this thing is right now with water. I'm not kidding. You could have the fattest Guinness World Record of the fattest baby to come out of anybody's vagina, and this thing weighs more. It is, I can't tell you how heavy this thing is. So when I do blow this thing up, keep in mind that the bottom is filled to the rafters with water. This has been sealed in a box for 24 years. I'm afraid that when plastic stays crumbled and folded up for 24 years and you don't know what kind of storage it had, I'm worried that that thing's going to pop open. And if that pops open, I got to run to the bathroom like I have diarrhea. I'm going to have to run and race because I can't have water like this all over the place. Should we just do it now? Should we just do, oh, I ordered the pump. I told you all. See, when I order things, I try to get the coolest things. This is a battery-operated pump. You could, this side blows water. You see this? This side blows air out. This side sucks. Wow. Sucks, blows. Hold on. Yeah, this is the blow side. So we're going to blow Goldberg. And then after we're done, we're going to suck Goldberg. We're going to suck the air out. But battery operated. Can't go wrong. No cords. I don't have to worry about any electrical shocks if I get any water on me. Let's blow this son of a bitch up. And let's see what happens. Now, here's another problem.
I'm going to rip you apart.
This is... Shut up! That's the thing that you put on the bottom. And the problem is, my microphone, if I go like this, you could hardly hear it. So if I put this thing in the bottom and start beating it up, I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it. Ah! Oh, somebody's sending me a Steve Austin one. And Steve Austin apparently goes, ah, also. So I got to see what that is. What now, jackass? Ah! Instead of what? It's going to be, ah. I do that like when you get like, you ever wake up in the morning and you have like this really long fart that you didn't realize you held in all night long, but you did. And before you even go to the bathroom to do the morning leak, you just like bend over and you just, and you're like, ah, that's what it sounds like. All right. Look at this thing. This is water. It is so freaking heavy. Look. Looks like the movie from Airplane, right? All right. I don't know if you could see. Well, you really can't, but there's where you put the air. You stick it in its ass. Where's my pump? All right. So we're going to blow up. Look at the tattoo. Wait till you see how this thing looks blown up. Got to make sure I open the right one. If I open the water part, we have disaster. This is the airy part. Okay. Hold on. Okay. I'm sorry for my friends on audio only. I promise you, before the show goes up tonight, I will edit out 98% of this air blower sound. So for my friends on audio only, do not worry. I will not be lazy tonight. I will edit out the audio of this. Come on. All right. You know what was funny about this just now? I thought I couldn't close the hole. And I'm like, what the fuck? Come on. And I didn't realize this thing was blowing air on my hand, so it was sealed the whole time. Look how heavy this is. There you go. He's got the tattoo. See, look. He's got the tattoo. Yeah, he looks like he's got lipstick on. So, I'm Goldberg. So anyway, yeah. So this is it. So now, what do we do?
I'm going to rip you apart. Is that all you got? I'm going to rip you apart. Is that all you got?
Shut up. Fuck you. That felt good. Can we get a Brad Shepherd one? Well, at least the water didn't come out. What, are you trying to give me the middle finger, prick?
This is Goldberg. I'm going to rip you apart. Is that all you got? Ow.
I'm getting more. I'm going to get an Austin one. We won't do that to Austin, though. Rest in peace, Bill. That's for Bray Wyatt. Actually, you know what? Hold on. That's more like it. Don't fall. That's more like it. That's for Bray. There we go. I'm better. Like I said, for my audio-only friends out there, I'll edit out a lot of the dead air. See this? I have a place making up a bunch of these. A couple of different designs. I have a bunch of Daphne photos still. Most of them are unsigned. I gave away many a couple of weeks ago for those who made big donations. What I'm going to do is once I get these plates, I will put up a link for the foundation that the family wanted donations for. And also that where you could plant the tree in her name. And, you know, obviously a certain amount of money, but anybody out there makes a donation, first come, first serve. Whoever makes a donation, you know, for a certain amount. I'm not going to be like one of these, got to donate $1,000. Nothing like that. But I haven't decided what number. But you'll get one of these license plates, and you'll get a photo. I mean, as you can see, still have quite a few. Obviously, the ones to me, and some great letters, those are not available. But I just want to give everybody an update. So, rest in peace, Dad. Oh, you son of a bitch. Bastard. Come on, it says hurt, heal. Heal, heal, hurt, heal. Come on, heal. That's all right. I got seven more. I have more. Don't worry. Fucking Goldberg always gets the last laugh, huh? Goldberg won again over Bray. Oh, my God. It's all right. All right. Extreme rules. Let's get this shit out of the way. Predictions. Liv Morgan against Carmella. Well, you know what? Let me give you the results from SmackDown yesterday because it sort of kind of has a little bit to lead in for my predictions for tomorrow. Yesterday on SmackDown, we had in the dark matches Shane Thorne over Austin Theory. Oh, I got to share something funny with you all. Go to the description area of tonight's show in the comment section and look where it says SmackDown results. We'll share a little joke amongst us. If you look at the dark match that Keith Lee had, look at the opponent that he faced. Because what I like to do on these shows, when a lot of people like to cut and paste my shit and not give me credit for it, I don't need the credit, but it's just a sign of respect. Sometimes I'll make a couple of errors just to see who's posting my shit. So I put that Keith Lee beat Matthew Rotz, R-A-Z. Middle initial A, Matthew A. Raz. If you look at it closely, that is Mataraz. Matthew, just call me Matt for short. So when you see Keith, if you see any websites report that Keith Lee defeated Matthew A. Raz, you know why. So anyway, Keith Lee, we don't know who he faced yesterday. Shane Thorne over Austin Theory. Casey Catanzaro and Xia Li over Dakota Kai and Aaliyah. Those were the dark matches. SmackDown, same formula that they've done for about 5 weeks now. Four or five matches, tops, usually four. You had Nakamura over Apollo Crews, Zelina Vega over Liv Morgan due to Carmella, Nikki Ash over Natalya, and this is to set up obviously, the match that we expected, Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley versus Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox. And then Roman Reigns over Montez Ford. Now, you know, some people immediately like, Montez Ford, singles match. Why are they not doing the love for Angelo Dawkins? Well, you know, maybe Montez Ford, they see bigger things for him down the line. Look at Otis. Look what happened to him. Look what happened to a lot of tag teams. Just because you're a tag team and it's awesome doesn't mean it's always going to stick. You think when Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford, when it's time to renegotiate their contracts, when Montez Ford's agent or whoever it is negotiates with WWE, and then they go to Angelo Dawkins and Nick Khan is talking to Angelo. So, Angelo, what do you want to do with your contract? Whatever he's getting. And whatever he's getting. We're a team. Whatever he's getting. Doesn't work that way. So, with that said, Liv Morgan versus Carmella on the pay-per-view. Not concerned at all that Liv Morgan got a loss yesterday. If anything, I'm happy that Zelina Vega finally got a win. So, this is all to try to set up more animosity between Liv Morgan and Carmella. That's all that is. I see Liv Morgan getting the win. Liv Morgan, a lot of people thought should have won Money in the Bank. She'll get the win on the pay-per-view. At least I hope. We have the Usos versus the Street Profits for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I personally feel you do not take the titles off of the Usos until you're ready to have a major shift in the storyline with the Bloodline. So I go with the Usos to retain their championships. Damian Priest versus Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus. Feel bad for Sheamus. Broken nose again. Not putting the title on nose guy right now. And Jeff Hardy, as much as we still all beloved him, Damian Priest is here to shine. And Damian Priest, without question, will retain that championship. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. If the idea of what we talked about all along is that Becky Lynch was going to be on SmackDown temporarily as, you know, I don't want to say substitution, but because of Sasha Banks not appearing, I think with the draft coming up next week, if their original plan was to bring Becky Lynch to Raw, I think Becky Lynch drops that SmackDown championship to Bianca Belair. I always say the uproar on social media is always heavily exaggerated and inflated, but there was a lot of people who were really pissed off that Bianca Belair lost at SummerSlam in 20 some odd seconds. And there is nothing you could do tomorrow that could make up for that if she loses. Or I take that back, if she doesn't win the championship. She could win by DQ. She could win by countout. Yeah, it may make Becky Lynch an even bigger heel, but Becky Lynch, she's a pro. Not saying Bianca is not, but Becky Lynch has already been at the mountaintop, already been, you know, the biggest name in WWE, period, at one point. She's the man. So she'll be fine in her character. Bianca Belair, though, I think they need to make up for what happened at SummerSlam. So I'm actually going with Bianca winning the championship. Now, that doesn't mean that Becky Lynch is definite for Raw, but I still believe Bianca regains the championship. I think that's the only way to go. And you know what? I know there's going to be some detractors that are going to say, oh, she's got the title. She should have never lost it in the first place. And I do agree with that to a certain extent, but in the end, it tells the story and it solidifies Bianca a little bit better, especially if she gets a win over Becky Lynch. Now, wouldn't it be ballsy if Bianca... How would you all feel if Bianca beat Becky Lynch in 25 seconds? How would you all feel? I'm not saying that's going to happen. How would you all feel? You know, I'm not kidding. I have the worst freaking headache after doing that. I don't know if it's all the air, like, blowing in my face after that. Oof, I got a freaking headache from that. I'm not kidding. And I have my air conditioner on 66 degrees and it's off. That's how cool it is in here. I'm sweating bullets. Extreme Rules. Roman Reigns defending the Universal Championship against the Demon, Finn Balor. With the exception of NXT, the Demon has never lost on the main roster. I believe that streak will end on Sunday. The Demon, Finn Balor, they have tried to make this storyline good. I like Finn Balor. I mean, the guy is awesome. But, boy, there's no reason to take the title off Roman Reigns. You think if Finn Balor wins, he's going to Saudi Arabia to take on Brock? You think that's what the Prince wants? No, Roman versus Brock. Now, because it's Extreme Rules, Brock could very well appear tomorrow night. In fact, it would not surprise me if Brock Lesnar lays out Roman Reigns and the crowd goes nuts, but then Brock Lesnar lays out Finn Balor also and walks off. Because I don't think Brock Lesnar wants Finn Balor to win that championship. I think Brock Lesnar in storyline wants to beat up Paul Heyman's boy. Big difference. So Roman Reigns, without a doubt, retaining that championship. But it will not surprise me if Brock Lesnar makes an appearance. And, you know, we'll see. If they add, we'll probably get one or two matches added to it. Hopefully we don't get any Reginald stuff. I know some of you like it, but me, I could do without it, especially on a pay-per-view. But that's it. That's Extreme Rules for tomorrow night. You know, pretty easy pay-per-view. You know, it's not going to be a four-hour thing. Might be 2.5, 3 hours tops. I just hope we don't get Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley versus Knox and Shotzi on the pre-show. Because I got a weird feeling they may go that way. I think that, let that build a little bit. No reason why you can't have that on SmackDown. And if you follow the WWE formula, it would not be surprising if Shotzi and Knox get a win in a non-title match to give another reason why they should get a title match, you know, whatever. And don't be surprised if they add a little, oh, Charlotte Flair, that's right. You know, the whole time that went down, you know, Lily just stood there and did nothing. She didn't move. She didn't fall. Nothing. Wow. Even the atom bomb stuff. I just realized all that stuff could have been come tumbling down from doing that. They no-sold Goldberg. They no-sold Goldberg. But Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss, in my opinion, no way Charlotte Flair loses that title tomorrow. No way. No way. We might get dumb voodoo shit. I hope we don't. We might have somebody make an appearance unexpected, but I do not see Charlotte losing that championship. Charlotte will retain that title. Thank you for, Chris, for pointing it out. Completely forgot about that match, too. So I'm not going to knock the pay-per-view. Look, we get it on Peacock. We pay like $2 or $5 a month. You know, it's not like we're paying $34.95 or $40. We were paying that kind of money, I'd say save your money. If it's really that good, you watch the replay. The fact that we're getting it part of a monthly subscription, you know, I mean, how could you really be extremely picky about it, you know? Plus, we've been getting some pretty damn good Raws and some pretty damn good SmackDowns. Not the greatest, but better than what we had before. Next week is the draft. Extreme Rules is just the last stop before you really go with the draft. Yes, Raw does not kick off the draft, but the point is now with Extreme Rules in the books after tomorrow, now you could get ready for the draft and new storylines about to start. Yes, David, Charlie, somebody sent me a couple of lilies in WWE. The funny thing is when I got the Bray Wyatt ones, I had no idea package was coming. I think I told this once before. And when I mentioned on the show, whoever sent it, thank you. I had three people that work within WWE send me a DM and say, oh, I'm glad you like it. You know, that was me that sent it. Problem is, I know two of the three do not have my home address. There's only one person that I'm aware of that has my home address there. It's actually two people, but one of them, there'd be no reason for him to send me Bray Wyatt stuff. But so I kind of felt bad. I just didn't answer them back. But the same person that sent me the Bray Wyatt stuff sent me a bunch of lilies. We'll give away on one on the show probably next week. And the Charlies, they're not coming out until November. But apparently I'm going to get a bunch before they go on sale. So as soon as I get them, I will show it to you. I will unbox it. Maybe we'll give one or two away, see how many we get. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. All right. So what else do we want to talk about tonight? Grand Slam yesterday. Just very quickly, the match results, CM Punk over Hobbs, which we talked about earlier. Adam Cole and the Young Bucks over Christian Cage and Jurassic Express. Look, I know that they're going to have Jungle Boy versus Adam Cole next week, and it looks like a fun match to have. Yes, I saw it. I watched it in the match yesterday. I didn't pay attention to everybody at ringside, but if you remember Wednesday's show, I said, did you take notice of the people at ringside that didn't seem too happy with some of the things going on during the night? When you watch Adam Cole and Luchasaurus doing this, I don't remember who posted the video clip, but I watched it up close and they're zooming in on the fans at ringside. They're like, it looks stupid, horrendously stupid. But I will say this. When people are like, look, Adam Cole, you could have fucking stood in the WWE and made more money. Now you're fighting a dinosaur and you're doing dumb windmills and now you're taking on Jungle Boy and this and that. And you're not doing any better over there. Oh, yes, he is. He might be getting paid a little bit less. And yes, he might be working some guys that are far below his level. But he's allowed to do outside projects. He's allowed to stream. He's allowed to do the things that make Adam Cole happy. And that is the trade-off with WWE. So even though I don't like this stuff, and even though some of the match choices, you might be like, And you look at the overall picture, I think Adam Cole is much happier now than before. And he gets to work with his significant other. Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with that. Men of the Year over Jericho and Hager. My only problem with this match, the after-match beatdown. Nobody in the inner circle tries to save Hager or Jericho. Now, wouldn't it have made sense to maybe have Santana or Ortiz have their match first and maybe have a little bit of skirmish, which we all told you was going to happen with the Lucha Bros? Or Sammy Guevara could have been attacked by Miro, and that would have explained why nobody came out to help Jericho or Hager. I personally, look, show, I'm commenting after the show, but just looking at that, to me, that is a careless mistake that they made. In time, they'll probably fix those mistakes. Somebody in the back has to play devil's advocate and say, well, don't you think this match should go up first? This way, if you have a skirmish or something happens, that explains why they didn't come out to help Jericho and Hager. And shouldn't Sammy get laid out by Miro? And that's why Sammy couldn't. You know, if you really think about it, that is a big fucking deal. That is a big deal. Now, you know how to cover it up? If enough of us speak out about this weekend, next Wednesday, you'll see a backstage promo where Jericho and Hager will ask the other guys, where were you guys? Where were you? I thought you had our backs. Oh, no. I was preparing for my match. No. I bet you that happens. I bet you that happens. But it's not a big deal. Not going to crucify AEW over it. They're still new. They still have people behind the scenes that aren't normally doing what I just said. They'll learn. They'll learn. So Santana and Ortiz over the Lucha Bros. Santana and Ortiz and the Lucha Bros. They beat the Hardy Family Office. Now we're getting a hair versus hair match, Jack Evans versus Orange Cassidy. And honestly, my reaction to it is because Matt Hardy does not want his head shaved. Period. Everybody wanted to see Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy, hair versus hair. So you're giving Jack Evans. Now, maybe Matt Hardy does change his mind, and maybe for the right amount of moolah, Matt agrees to do it down the line. But right now, we're going to almost guarantee get Jack Evans gets his head shaved. So, Penelope Ford over Anna Jay. Don't really care all that much about it. No offense, but the only reason why I put any thought of this is because a lot of people still think that that Bray Wyatt could very well appear next week in Rochester, the hometown of Brody Lee. We'll see what happens. But, they're all beautiful women, no question. But I think this storyline, it seems like, somebody has got to lead the Dark Order. So why not it be Bray Wyatt? So we'll see. I'm not going to praise it or criticize it because we haven't seen it yet. If it happens, then we'll comment on it. Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley over Lance Archer and Minoru Suzuki. As I showed you before, Homicide. Oh, we could take this down. Homicide makes his AEW debut. Loved it. Obviously, Homicide is not the Homicide of 10 years ago, as I said before, but he could still do a little bit. And we'll see if AEW signs him to any deal. Because as of right now, he is not under contract, but that could change very, very quickly. Because remember, AEW's deals are far smaller than WWE's, but on the same token, he could do a lot of outside projects. So, right now, it seems like he is, AEW's version of New Jack. I don't think that's what they're going for, but I had no complaints yesterday. Other than the fact, like I said, a little slower than, than probably some expected. But it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. His appearance was overall great. Something that we've talked about on this show for well over a month and a half that we wanted to see, and we got it. So overall, I was very happy, and I thought the show was very good. I don't know what the ratings are going to be. I personally still think the ratings are going to be right around 800,000. I don't know if people out there are going to consider that. As, I think 787. I think I the other day I said 815 or something. I think 787, 777, like around there. I know some people may feel that that's an awfully low number for a two-hour show. But, hell, you know, not only is 10 to 11 difficult, now you're going 11 to 12. So there's a very good possibility that the first hour might have a much better rating than the second hour, and they may end up overall being very close to the week before, maybe within 50,000 viewers. You could very well see that happen. Even if that does happen, no worries, everyone, no worries. Some people out there, you know, want AEW to be, you know, bigger than what it is instead of just sitting back and enjoying it. So, yeah, if you think 900,000 is going to top it, man, you know, good for you. Seriously, good for you. I don't think so, but we'll see. And I think that's it. I think that's it. Oh, Canyon's show, The Double Life of Chris Canyon, did 214,000 viewers, which is way up from 153 from the week before. And, you know, I'm so happy I didn't break my pen. The Goldberg stuff earlier. I wonder, did anybody get offended that I, like, just, like, blew that up and, you know, beat it up and blew it up again? I mean, I was just trying to be funny about it. I mean, I'm a grown adult. I mean, I thought about keeping this in the background. It's freaking 4 feet high. If I put it over there, you're not going to see the head. What are you going to see? You're going to see like some yellow drawn on chest. I can't even put his head on there. And I don't like the idea of water being on that foundation. And it's only a matter of time that son of a bitch is going to start leaking. So, but I promise you, when we get the Undertaker one, when we get the Steve Austin one, when we get the Sting one, and they're all different, we will be much more gentle with them. In fact, what I'll probably do is blow them up, show you what it's all about, and I'll probably put it back in the box nice and neat and give it away on the shows. Somebody asked me for the Goldberg toothpaste the other day. I don't know, man. I put my tongue on that tip thing. I'm still a little concerned that there was no like little foil like cover on it, but it was sealed. It was not opened. So, you know, I mean, I understand we're talking 22 years ago, but I remember toothpaste always having that little foil thing that you like bit off with your teeth and then you got your toothpaste. Yeah. For everybody who was late today, we blew up Goldberg, then we beat him up, then we blew him up again. I kind of regret putting the Bray Wyatt on the thing because in the end, Goldberg won anyway. Goldberg defeated the Fiend twice, everybody. Son of a bitch. I can't even use crazy glue because it's a bobblehead. It's all right. Like I said, I got like six more of them. So, yeah, Goldberg buried the Fiend again, live on the show. So, yeah. But so, everyone, I think we're going to wrap it up. It's already 9:20. I know we did a little shorter show. Benjamin says somebody sold the toothpaste for $32 or it's up to $32 on eBay. Oh, yeah, look, a lot of this stuff is pretty pricey. When some people, you know, offer to send me this stuff, you know, I look around and see what the value is for some of these things. And some of it's not cheap, man. Some of it is not cheap at all. I mean, the Ultimate Warrior, I mean, like, the guy said he asked me for my P.O. box. I gave it to him. And he swears to me that it's been sitting on his dresser for about 20, 25 years. Comfortable environment. Demetrius Harrell, welcome to the family. Welcome, my friend. He swears that it's been on a dresser for 2+ decades in decent conditions. If I open it up and it smells horrible, I will not, I'm not stupid. You know, like, I never thought I would be sampling this stuff, but we just touched the surface because apparently they had like lots and lots of lights of like food items, ECW, not ECW, WCW, WWF, WWE. Somebody sent me the CM Punk toothpaste. I have it inside. I haven't brought it in yet, but that toothpaste is only about, what, 9 years old, 8 years old? So I don't think that would make much of a difference. I honestly think 8-year-old toothpaste probably still works perfectly. It's cool because it has a CM Punk toothbrush too. I might just give it away on the shows. I don't think there's any reason for me to open that. But when it comes to like fruit juice, WWF Superstars fruit juice from 1991, or better yet, the guy that's sending me the Buff Bagwell WCW NWO hot sauce, I'm not eating hot sauce that's 25 years old. I'm not eating Buff Bagwell NWO hot sauce. Sorry. But we'll have some fun. We'll have some fun. It's a shame. The box is in pretty good condition. I mean, honestly, there's nothing wrong with the box at all. I think I'll keep the box just for, like, memories. You know, maybe we'll keep the box. You know, maybe someone out there, like, has one of these without the box and they want the box. Yeah, get in touch with me. And use the box. It's in pretty good condition. So, if you're a channel member here, I posted earlier the predictions contest for Extreme Rules. Someone will win their choice of a $50 either Amazon e-gift card, PayPal, Cash App, Pro Wrestling Tees, WWE Store, whatever. So if you're a channel member here, you know, go check it out. You have until, I think, 3 p.m. tomorrow. And the reason why I chose 3 instead of 4 is I'll be offline tomorrow for pretty much the majority of the evening. I will actually not be home, but I will have my laptop with me. But, yeah, so go check that out. For my Patreon family, I put it up earlier, too. You have it till 3 p.m. also. And, yeah, CM Punk, I know. Benjamin, I've been saying it for years. You know, as soon as they went to high-definition TV, CM Punk, with all due respect, even when he was in WWE, I used to comment on the shows. In fact, that might even have been the reason why I got blocked from him back in the day. I said, every time you watch CM Punk in high definition, you say to yourself, does this guy smoke? Because his teeth are like yellow. It's like almost urine yellow. And you watch it in high definition TV and CM Punk, you know. Let me put it like this. Hey, Punk, do this. Take a white piece of paper and do this. And let's see what it looks like. And my teeth are no better. Well, they are better, but not that much better. What was that food company that Kurt Angle used to have? Wasn't it Extreme Foods LLC? Was it Extreme Foods? I don't know. It was something Foods LLC. We used to have a ball with that too. Anyone in the chat remember? I'll give you a quick shout out before I go. Was it Extreme Foods LLC? Or was it Angle Foods LLC? Why does Extreme Foods sound so familiar? Kurt Angle had his own like food company for a little while. That was funny shit, man. He thought he was like the chef from the Muppets. So, nobody remembers. I think it was Angle Foods. Yeah, Puffy 89, I think you're right. It was Angle Foods LLC. If anybody's never seen it, go seek that out. You'll get a good laugh. Anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. Going to get this episode online. I got to do some extra editing for my audio family so they don't have to hear a blower going for 2 minutes. And then I got to drain the water out of that thing and dispose of it. I guess that's recyclable, right? It's all plastic. I got to recycle that. We did Q&A Kareem on Thursday, so we'll do some Monday after the show. So, I know what he's talking about. Channel members, the Q&A, I updated it again because right when before I posted online, AEW Grand Slam went down. So I updated again. So tomorrow during the day, the Q&A that I've been promising everyone, that will be up revised. So I think that's what he's talking about. So Darren's like, you call this an episode? We're freaking 90 minutes. We blew up Goldberg. We did predictions. We talked AEW. We talked Dark Side of the Ring. We talked Shane Thorne. We talked SmackDown. What else do you want? What else do you want? Pick up the soap now. Good, Darren. Yeah, pick up the soap now. What? Pick up the soap now. What? This talks. It's soap. Supposedly, what this supposedly is, I haven't opened it up yet. There's batteries. They're probably no good anymore, so they're probably like watch batteries. And this is a bar of soap. It's supposed to be vanilla. And you go in your sink, and as you wash your hands with the bar of soap, it's supposed to talk to you. Pick up the soap now. What? Oh, wait, wait till I get the nitro cologne, and wait until I get the other item. This person said it to me, and he's like, and look, some people have said, you know, if I show something, can I send it back? Yeah, I don't care. As long as it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg to ship it back. But, you know, some people have some pretty cool stuff that you can't find anywhere. You know, this thing, I looked all over eBay. I could not find one that was ever up for sale. And believe it or not, this is out of Canada. So this might be an item that was only sold in Canada. Maybe Canada thinks it's cool to say, pick up the soap now. What? Pick up the soap. You know, I just realized these are my other colognes from the other day. I got to put them back in my room. So anyway, if you'd like, join me here tomorrow night. 5 minutes after Extreme Rules ends, I will be up here giving you a recap and review. Let's hope that it's a good show. Couple of additional surprises planned. I don't want to say appearances or returns. I'm just saying that we'll probably see a couple of things laxed. You might see a stipulation or two added to the show. And let's see if we get more with Naomi and Sonya Deville. So, no, I don't want to pick up the soap. But anyway, everybody, much love as always. I hope you had a great night. Hopefully we got to escape from our everyday bullshit for a little while, laugh, you know, just have some regular combo. And if you like tonight's episode, hit that like button. If you know anyone else out there that you think might like the channel, just send them the link. You know, what's the worst they could do it to you? Seriously, what's the worst they could do? Let them know about it. Anyway, thank you, everybody. Have a great night, and I'll catch you all tomorrow night. After Extreme Rules, no more Brad Shepherd comments, please. Bastard. Bastard! Don't worry, tomorrow, I'll do the Triple H when we open up tomorrow. Bray Wyatt will be right back there. In fact, you know what? Let's do this. Before we go off the air, there ain't no way we're going off the air with Goldberg having. That's all right, Goldberg. The Fiend is like a science fiction movie. That's all right, Goldberg. You think you killed the Fiend? I don't fucking think so. Come on. I don't have all day. Oh, I got to screw it together. Well, yeah. If anybody ever was thinking about getting one of these, it's really worth it. It really is. The bottom part, you got to actually screw it on. This is the, you take it out of the pack, the Fiend. I love the fist in the back. See how it says heel? See how it says heel in the back? But this is not a neck brace, everyone. After Goldberg, yeah, you might need a little neck brace. That's to protect the neck. See, so. All right, we unscrew this. Hold on, almost done. I tell you, Focos are pretty cool, man. If I had more room behind me, I would get more. All right, I think we're just about unscrewed. I got styrofoam all over my shirt. All right. So now, You take the foot, stick it in, stick it in the hole. You put the washer, then you put the clamp, whatever that's called, the wing nut. I think it's a wing nut, right? And you just screw it on. All right. I appreciate everybody who is still hanging out. All right, we're almost done. All right, and that's it. That's it. So guess what, Goldberg? To quote Triple H, it never happened. He's okay, everybody. He's all right. So, good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.